holds SA, right? Because the township isn't part of the urban fringe. I just want to clarify where exactly in the process we carry the most authority to impact what happens in the future, Rick. That's all I'm saying at this point.
And the only thing I'm debating with you, Loris, is I don't know that I would agree that this is the point that we have the most. I think we have a role. I think we have some impact. But I think there have been multiple points, and there will be multiple points if this thing progresses that I believe we're going to have that opportunity. And as far as traffic, I'll just ask you this. How many times, with me sitting in this chair over the last 8 months, have you heard me mention traffic on George Washington Carver and Cameron School Road and the need for something to get done? So it shouldn't come as any big shock to anybody that that's a concern that has been on the county's radar since before this board got seated.
Correct. So, and I agree with that concern. I live up near there. So where I look at then, there's a concern, and then how do we translate that concern into some kind of agreement? That's where I'm looking at. We're concerned about traffic up there already, let alone this could add between, assuming it's each household has only one driver, and we're looking at a possibility between 400 and almost 1,000 units being developed up there, so adding into that. So I'm just trying to delineate about where are the spots where we can come in and say we would like to see something happen, and we would like to have that move forward in agreement, that it be a condition. I mean, that's what planning and zoning are. Our planning and zoning department did. They put it on approval on with a condition. I believe as we hear from some of the residents who are here today, representative of the fire department, the township, those two in particular, there's a couple of questions that they at least would like answered. And then the question is, do we have a role in as their legal representatives who actually are sitting within the authority here, the authority circle, do we have a role to try and see what we can get for them in this process? So that's where I'm coming from, all right? Not that it's necessarily automatically a no or something, but it's more related to this. I believe this is our strongest point for negotiation.
Yeah, and so I think this is a point for negotiation. I get really uncomfortable, Loris, when I hear you say things like "get something for them." So we should take concerns forward from all citizens and entities in the area. Mm-hmm. Absolutely, but if you're suggesting that our role as a board of supervisors is to try to work for the benefit, work to get some kind of remuneration or something for some entity, I don't buy that that's government's role. Government's role, I believe, is to make sure that we're following the process we've laid out, and we're looking for highest and best use of every piece of property anywhere. And I think for Story County, the three of us better be representing all of Story County, not picking and choosing winners and losers.
Well, get, I agree with, might not be the best word, okay? But in representing all of Story County is recognizing that we, in addition to representing the developer, okay, one of our constituents. I believe one of the emails from Doug Moore pointed out this may have the most complicated or complex group of public stakeholders and private stakeholders that any annexation in the county has faced. Maybe possibly ever, but I mean, this is very complicated when you look at how many stakeholders are involved here. So in representing all, we need to make sure, first of all, that we understand all of the concerns, all of them. And then second of all, sometimes we do choose to help one group of constituents advocate over another group for the good of the county, the best use good of the county. The question is, we might have different priorities priorities about what the best use is. Now, this is what I will say to everybody right up front. This is natural here. The growth is already all up there. It is natural there. And when I first came to this county in 2002, there was already this assumption and discussion we would end up growing that way. So this is no surprise to anyone. But Thursday night, there were questions raised by a group of constituents who expressed, at least to Marty and I, that they felt that they had not been heard and had not had their issues addressed in, like, the community meeting in August with representatives from the city. I feel that I owe those constituents to really hear those concerns. I have a couple of follow-up questions based on Thursday night, and then to hear what the response is from the developer. And depending on what those are, you're right, it's not our job to sit down at the negotiating table. But it is our job to make sure that those constituents are positioned in the circle to be able to express their concerns and have them completely and fairly, and it may be financially, addressed. We don't negotiate that. Okay, we don't negotiate that, but I am sitting here today to make sure that their concerns are heard and that we're hearing from the developer that there is an addressing of those. I have, as I sit here right this moment, I have not decided what way to vote.
Sure, and I appreciate all of that, Laura, and I agree with the, if what you're saying is that you feel like it is the Story County Board of Supervisors' role to make sure that the specific process that has been laid out as part of the Angel River Fringe Plan and by state law, anytime something like this comes together, how those two mesh together. And we want to follow that process and make sure that as part of that process, everybody has a chance to be heard. Everybody has a chance to have their concerns addressed, maybe not to their satisfaction, but addressed on some level. Then I'm with you 1,000%. I got queasy when I started feeling like you were talking about us entering a negotiation on behalf of some other entity. Our responsibility is Story County.
Correct. And what's best for Story County? What is so interesting about it is, come back to maybe how complicated this is. And part of that may have to do with what Gilbert and the fire department have taken on recently in debt, because we certainly have had annexation in other townships, but we've not had that annexation occur when some of the, at least one of the taxing entities, the fire department, has gone into an agreement to pay for a brand new fire station / city hall with the city of Gilbert. So that's part of the complication. So.
Okay, good. Marty, anything?
To that end, being the guy who lives up in unincorporated, so when township talks, I set up straight. I started a conversation with myself at the desk on Thursday. Usually Eric Plotter's a little sleepy or non-existent. Got a lot of content out of it. Lawrence and I were kind of whipsawed, I think, as Jerry was, that this issue came out so forcefully, and thinking, like, oh gosh, we're going to take it from Thursday night to Tuesday and have that discussion. Loris was making making note of the fact that got me that, you know, you have obligations by your townships and your cities in regards to fire service. So I thought, all right, where do I want to go find this number? So, and I'll get to the Ames annexation here in a point, because that's where I'm going to end it. I went to Lisa Markley, our resident numbers person, and asked, what is the dollars provided to the township from the three proposed properties? And to the best of Lisa's ability, it was $101 a year. That was the dollars that's derived to the Franklin Township Fire Department from these three properties. I then turned to the fact that the city of Ames got a lot closer to my house here this past spring. And I asked, on a 1,300-acre annexation that came through the Nevada Fire Department, the Grant Township portion of it, how much dollars were taken from it to have that annexation go through. And Lisa's swag, and it's just a swag because we try to keep it, it's almost all agricultural, her estimate was a $1,400 takeaway from the Nevada Fire Department to take that annexation on. I have tried to do a little bit of follow-up with the Nevada City officials to find out what their opinions were, and through that process, at no time did anybody in the Nevada Fire Department or the city come to us, or come to me, being the Nevada guy, and say, hey, by the way, did you know? So I guess I only started thinking about this as a Thursday walking out of Gilbert going like, geez, what was our, as we just went through this, what was our hit? And I guess it wasn't, you know, $1,400 is $1,400, but we are not going to make a deal for anybody. We have the ability to look at what our Planning and Zoning Commission recommended. We have the ability to have the discussions here. I welcome the opportunity to get Ames up here. I welcome the opportunity of the citizens of Gilbert to get up here and anybody in the township, because this is their forum. I was kind of surprised that it had got to this point, or there were such strong feelings to what I would thought would be just a straightforward. Laura discussed down here earlier with you, that you said here from the Genesis too. This is a natural progression of how I see Ames going. It is working to the north. And this is just that story, and this is the most recent installment. Ames, I see, wants to be collective and try to take all these things and move them forward at once. I get that. But in the interim, as we are the elected officials for the incorporated positions, let's have that conversation and go forward.
I'm probably about a quarter of the way through this presentation. If you'd like me to proceed, I can. Otherwise, I'm good too.
Okay, I'm done talking.
Go ahead.
I also.
You want me to proceed?
It might help.
This is from the land use policy plan in the city of Ames. It just shows you the growth area. So these are the targeted growth areas that the city has been planning on. The Borgmeyer, the Irons, the Ames Golf and Country Club are in that north growth area. The Free River properties are just adjacent, they're just to the west of it. So that's why they're calling it the gap area. This shows you the land use designations. Everything inside that circle, for the most part. Priority transitional is the kind of the darker green crosshatched area. It includes the Friedrich properties, Borgmeyer. Rural transitional residential would be the Irons, and then Parks and Rec is the golf course. So again, much of this is already designated residential. The request here is to bump it up to the urban residential, which allows it to be annexed. But again, the annexation phase, again, Charlie can speak to this, but it's going to take some time to work through all that. This is the zoning map. We threw the aerial and then the zoning. So you see the Friedrich properties outlined in red. A1 agricultural district. To the east are the Borgmeyer properties, A1. The Irons was already zoned R2 when they went through that process. And then to the east is the golf course, that's A1. To the north, R1, residential transitional. To the west, agricultural residential, which is like a 1 acre. R1 is about 25,000 square foot lot size. This shows you proximity of the proposed commercial node. Again, convenience commercial is what's being requested to the existing commercial nodes that are in the city. This is an approximate, the way a crow would fly. It's about a mile to the northeast, to the southwest corner. That area is zoned for commercial use. Currently, it's, I think, in ag use, so there's no commercial activity there. That's south of West 190th Street, west of Hyde Avenue. To the southeast, north of Bloomington Road, on Stang Road, you've got a commercial node there. I think there's a bank, gas station, some other retail uses. In the plan, it designates another node that is more of a community at large type commercial use that's planned on North Dakota. That's about a mile and a half to the southwest. Perspective, aerial perspective, again, it shows you the Friedrich properties, Borgmeyer to the east, golf course to the north, the Irons to the north. We're looking northward. These site photos were taken probably late spring, early summer. This is looking at the intersection, George Washington Carver, Cameron School Road. We're looking to the southwest at the Friedrich properties. Closer view, westbound Cameron School Road. Looking across the street, that's the First Evangelical Free Church. Looking towards the Irons and the Ames Golf and Country Club. Looking toward the intersection, there's the intersection again. I think this was right after church. Estimates, this is some information that the Ames Planning and Housing staff provided with regard to this request, with regard to dwellings. These are estimates. It depends on how these properties, first of all, if they get annexed and what they would be zoned. Approximately 200 to 400 units are possible for the Friedrich properties. Again, that's about 100 acres. About a third of that is a natural area, which would not be impacted. Those areas would be protected and or become, you know, drainage area, stormwater detention, that type of thing. Borgmeyer properties, approximately 350 to 600 dwelling units are possible. They did provide some traffic information based on their studies. From 2015, George Washington Carver carries about 4,600 vehicles. Based on their mobility plan that they put together, 2040, approximately another 7,600 vehicles is what George Washington Carver could see, with an approximate increase of 600 dwellings. The annexation for Ames Golf and Country Club, they've already got agreements with the city. So they're kind of in a holding pattern with regard to infrastructure. They're not going to get sanitary sewer until Rose Prairie to the east develops. And as of a couple weeks ago, I think they're still working on the platting for Rose Prairie. Borgmeyer, again, my understanding is there's no interest in developing that land right now. So from a land use perspective, it will likely stay in agricultural row crops for a while. But again, both of those properties, Ames Golf and Country Club, the Borgmeyers, are in that north growth area. Friedrich land development options, again, go through this process that's being requested. This is what Mr. Friedrich is requesting. This is what the city is requesting. This is the first step, the Ames Urban Fringe Land Use Plan Amendment. It would be followed up with an annexation process, which Gilbert and Story County would have input on. We would put together resolutions with the action. He could stay in the county. It's currently priority transitional residential. It encourages a density, though, of up to 3.75 units per acre. You can't get there with an A1 agricultural zoning. It doesn't. Our zoning does not permit it. He would have to change the zoning to an R2, and you could do single family, bi-attached, and get 8,000 square foot lots, but you would not be permitted to do multi-family housing, and it would also require a rezone to get the commercial, which would likely be a commercial light industrial zoning change. But with the transitional language in the plan, the city of Ames would primarily be the primary regulator. We, Story County, Gilbert, would have a role to review the subdivision, but it would be similar to what we did with the Irons. You know, we had, I think there was four or five alternative compliance requests that were added to the plat consideration because there were things that met the city of Ames' requirements, but not the county's. The other thing is to continue with the agricultural use process.
So we got Charlie Kuster. We're going to talk to us a little about Ames' perspective. As I understand this, this will come to the city of Ames formally now on the 28th of the month. It'll go to the Planning and Zoning Commission, and then it'll go to the city council to be dealt with on a formal basis since there was a mistake in the notification.
Correct. Last month, the Planning and Zoning Commission called a hearing. We provided mail notice. We failed to publish the notice to the Ames Tribune where the policy requires us.
Yep.
So we republished and we mailed notice to tomorrow's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. We will take that recommendation to the city council on November 28th.
And it's important to note right here that in our Urban Fringe Plan amendment procedures, there is no designation of which one of the three, so City of Gilbert, Story County, or the City of Ames, takes action or doesn't take action first or second. So it's not like we've got to wait on any action by another entity before we take action if we so choose.
Correct. The 2080 agreement requires each entity, once they take action, to provide written notice to the other two entities, and once the last entity has provided that notice, the plan is changed.
Okay.
So, give you a little brief history here. What I have up on the screen is the allowable growth area identified in the city's land use policy plan. These were areas that were identified after the 2010 census to identify those areas where residential growth would be necessary to accommodate the expected growth in the city of Ames. Between 2000 and 2010, the city of Ames had about 20% of population growth. In 2011, we did new growth projections with some assumptions about how Ames and the university would grow. I think we had six different scenarios. And the expectation now is that all those scenarios will be exceeded by the 2020 census. So in 2011, when this map was updated, we had not yet annexed Rose Prairie, Quarry Estates, Ames Crossing, is this up here that is now was white, it had been pink. We took that amendment process over to George Washington Carver Avenue. The scenic valley was added a couple years later at the request of the developer, and we found that the provision of services could be reasonably provided to that. This map here is the urban fringe plan. Priority transitional residential was all of this over here, all the way to Hayden Park. And when we changed the land use policy plan to bring the allowable growth areas over to this part, we soon changed the urban fringe plan to only go as far as the railroad tracks. The expectation, at least as far as the city was, ultimately this would be needed to accommodate the city's population growth. We didn't actually change the map at that time to urban residential as we did over here. This proposal here, if it ultimately is annexed, would be the sixth annexation of Franklin Township in the 10 years that I've been here together with Prairie. It was first Quarry Estates, Ames Crossing came in together. Scenic Valley came in, Scenic Point down here. And Auburn Trail, which as you know earlier was denied by the City Development Board, although it may be back without any non-consenting owners. So as the City of Ames grows, we always need to find that alternative housing. Not everybody wants to live in apartments, which people think that's all we build in Ames. But this area is likely going to grow similar to what Scenic Valley was and Northridge Heights, meaning that same urban density with full city services. Quarry Estates has been preliminary platted and they've been working on the east end moving west. Ames Crossing is completely built out. We're still working with Rose Prairie on a preliminary plat for the layout of this. Noted earlier, the Irons got approved with agreements that they would annex at the time that the city was asked them to. They would disconnect from Xenia and the private septics at the city. To get sewer and water to them, Crossing Point from Rose Prairie is right about here, so we would have to go to Mortimer's property to serve these Irons property, which we probably wouldn't do until the Mortimer property was ready to be connected. We spoke directly with the Ford Myers a couple years ago. They indicated that this is an asset for their children, and we reached out to them but have not heard anything at all. So we just don't know if it's long-term or any medium-term plans. If the map change were to occur, at that point we would be accepting of an application for annexation. Our process is always to take that first to the city council and say, we've got this annexation request, we can act solely on this, or we can reach out to other properties and see if they'd like to join it or identify what could be brought in as a non-consenting owner to create more uniform boundaries of avoid creating islands. So we're not at that stage yet. Right now, the only thing that we do know is there's about a half a million to a $750,000 sanitary sewer fix that needs to be made to serve the Friedrich property. We know that there likely will be traffic improvements needed. We are still working with our traffic engineer on scoping the extent of what a traffic study would be. How far upstream from this intersection, how far downstream do we look at it? And when we do a traffic study, not only do we find out power, we look at potential solutions, and then we have an agreement with the developers for what they're going to pay. And as this is a what we call a non-incentivized growth area, the city generally doesn't pay for a whole lot for development. So if we require a lot, we don't pay for a lot. Pine Avenue, just to give you an example here, when Rose Prairie and the other properties sought annexation and development, we did a traffic study that encompassed the whole area. We obtained financial security from all the developers that will pay for off-site improvements. I think you'll see a traffic signal at Bloomington and Pine in the next year, and then later on further improvements at Grand Avenue, Bloomington and Grand Avenue. So we try to get fixes identified early, we try to get the cash up front. We will put them in, probably not on day one, the traffic light's not needed when none of this is built out. But as it builds out, we try to time the necessary improvements so that we're somewhat ahead of a major problem. I anticipate the same thing here. You might identify this solution is a roundabout, a diamond interchange, who knows?
Who knows?
But it probably won't be built prior to the first home being built. It will absolutely be built sometime in the middle of the process. We won't wait till the last one to be built before the home
is built. Right, that one's a little interesting beyond some of the other ones we're talking about, because as we sit here today, that intersection is entirely county property. And no matter what direction you go for the foreseeable future, that intersection is going to be at least partially county property, which goes back to us to what you were talking about. We're going to be a little more involved in this process than probably some others, Charlie, that you're talking about.
Right now it's a three-way intersection.
Okay.
When the irons built, they started at the beginning of a Stang Avenue extension that will ultimately connect.
Yeah, see, I think that's a great tale, Charlie. So tell me the name of it. So Cameron School Road, where it extends across Woodworth and Carver to the east. What's the name of that road?
That'll become Stang Road.
And there's a Stang Road coming up from the south. So it tells me there's already a plan somewhere that has Stang Road going through the Borgmeyer property and tying in right there.
We also know that the county paving Grant Avenue north of 190th Street, traffic patterns are going to change. People probably don't find that much more conducive to some of the commuting patterns and coming over to High here. I'm sorry, coming up Grant Thoroughway and Park. We also know the closure of the bridge over Squaw Creek on 190th is going to have some impact. So once new traffic patterns are established, it's a good time to do that traffic study, figure out where people are actually going, use some traffic counts, identify some solutions, do the traffic counts, project them into the future based on growth, and then start identifying solutions.
So, Charlie, you mentioned the changes we've made from priority transitional residential. I think you said 16 or 13 in this area.
This is the sixth.
The six.
Okay. Six developments in this area.
In this area that went from priority transitional to urban. But we also look down to the bottom left of the map and we see one that started on our map as an urban residential. That the reality is, can you speak to Ames' perspective on that at this point?
You know, before I started working, there was a proposed development in that area. A lot of it was under single ownership. There was some significant sewer and water extensions that need to be brought across Iowa State University land to serve this area. The university doesn't develop land, so we will pay that on that installation. There's also a between $8 and $12 million overpass project in the riverfront. So that whole thing kind of got stalled. The developer, we went bankrupt, and a lot of the holdings have now dissipated among different owners. So as a single large development, the opportunity may be lost. It's still our policy that ultimately we will seek the annexation of the northwest growth area here. And this is a new creek here. This would be northwest 2, the second part of that, and that commercial node that you saw on the one sheet. It's up on right there. So it's hard to say. I can't say it's going to never happen.
Right.
It's just not needed in the future.
Exactly, but my point is this could very easily be viewed as a potential not tied together, but just like properties can go from priority transitional to urban residential or from rural residential to the process, it is possible to look at a map and say the realities for that urban residential is long term it's not going to be urban residential, it's going to be something else, and it could be a map change in the other direction. Yeah, just as a hypothetical.
Now, that brings an interesting point. This map was developed using what our standard density development is in the city of Ames, 3.75 units per acre for a single family, 5 units per acre for a mix of single and multifamily. This is what we need to accommodate our population by the year 2040. If we lose this area here, it's got to be made up somewhere else.
Right.
Now, we need to make up inside city limits, tear downs and rebuilds, or we look for another growth area to identify. Now we are constrained with a lot of development over here, we have floodplain down here, we have our ISU land here, we have this artificial Boone County boundary, we could go west of that.
Right.
That's never been one of our goals, but comes down to it. Ames is growing, we need to develop land for residential, commercial, and job opportunities.
And there's limited possibilities of what you just showed us. Any questions for Charlie?
Fascinating insights.
Yep.
Earlier in the presentation, we mentioned reverse and fire response actions. If on a proposed annexation, just speak more to what Kurt is offering up today, not necessarily any of the others. I guess as he addresses the concerns we heard last week from Kimberly.
Well, the city of Ames had a very rigid policy. It was 85% of the area of the city had to be within 5 minutes of a fire station for response. A lot of that didn't really make sense because some areas take a lot more calls, some areas much fewer calls. We found that most of our calls go to high-density commercial and high-density residential and areas that are mostly single family have, on average, way fewer calls than a multi family. So we kind of look at things differently. We try to create a scenario where 85% of all calls are within 5 minutes. And in Scenic Valley, with the most recent annexation in that area, we were well below 85% of calls to the expectation of that would develop a single family and maybe buy a house. If you put an assisted living or a skilled care unit out there, you're going to have more calls. So if you keep the housing types low calls, it's still fall within that guideline. Now, if we do need to provide more fire protection, we've got several alternatives. We could build a new fire station, find the best place to locate it, acquire the land, build a fire station. We could relocate one of the existing stations, maybe the one on 13th Street might be moved further out. Or alternatively, I know the fire chief has been having a lot of discussion with this about a shared facility. Maybe we don't need a full fire station, maybe we need a fire truck located in some shared facility with another entity, maybe a road center or something like that. So I don't have the answer now. we know that our fire chief is constantly evaluating that, and will make his recommendation at budget time to the city council. Same thing with police protection. Nobody's ever anticipated the North Police Station, but if we do need more officers to respond to more calls, that's always addressed at budget time. The request for more officers, more officers.
Super. Thank you, Charlie. Lawrence.
The August meeting that you had with some of the elected officials and residents out there, Charlie, were you the only person that went? Or was there like a representative from Freedom Fair? Who was there?
At the Flex facility, mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a county official there. Kurt was there. There were a few other city staff members.
Because I just like to go back to Thursday night, Marty and I got kind of whammed and didn't feel I felt that I wasn't even able to get the responses in the quadrant meeting because of just of us being totally not aware. Okay, so
then. Well, Jerry, you felt you were surprised by the quadrant meeting as well.
I was. I had not been approached about concerning the township
So, but it did come up in August. That's what some people who were there were saying, that we did at least have some people who were aware of it.
Yeah, the issue was raised by the loss of revenue.
Thank you. Okay. So then my next question, you said that there were six of the transitional in Franklin Township in 10 years. Those are actual annexations?
No, we've had four completed annexations.
Okay.
We had one attempted at a stall in North Trail. Mm-hmm. This would be the sixth one.
Okay.
That's it. All right. So,
good.
So now we'll open it up. Anybody else who would like to speak? Doug, come on up. And you can really. And I'll just remind you, Doug, speak loudly toward our high-tech cassette recorder.
So is that double vision, or is that...
That's right. That is Greenbox Zero, that's right.
So my name is Doug Moore. I live in Squaw Valley, and I am also one of the three elected officials of Franklin Township. I'm one of the three trustees. Tom Hacker, who the other is there, is here today, and our cleaner is not. I just want to start out and say that I think Loris commented on this in my email. This may be the most complicated piece of property in Stewart County as far as the stakeholders are involved here. And Greg, you just made a comment about the ownership of this intersection, which makes it even more complicated. And I'll get to the issues I'm hearing from some folks in the area. But I tell my kids, key to everything is community. And I was not at the quadrant meeting last week, but I was trout fishing in Pennsylvania, and all of a sudden my phone exploded with a conversation with both from some elected officials, Gilbert Fire, some neighbors in Franklin Township, and some other trustees. So it's safe, bottom line. And I talked with Tom and asked him, I don't believe that I received a packet on this at all. And I definitely did not receive one out of the August meeting, which I would have loved to vote on. And just to be clear, that's not the responsibility of the developer. That's the responsibility of the municipalities, I understand. We are normally copying all these things. I don't believe we got a packet on it. But again, communication being key. So, my understanding with the city of Gilbert and Gilbert Fire is that the concern is on coverage and cost and shared governance, perhaps. And my understanding is that none of these things were addressed. And last Thursday, I think, Marty Doris, and Marty, you caught the point of the sword. Again, going back to the community, the spring plan is very important to all of us. And I don't want to speak for the city of Gilbert, but I don't believe that there is any objection to this development. This is not a case of we want a corn mill there forever, or we want a
what we call yokes. You know, we want houses on 2 acre lots. But I think that a lot of people were somewhat blindsided in that it feels like people have been left out of the community process, or it didn't happen the way it should or could have. And this may be one of the first under the fringe plan that is this complicated. So the feeling that I have is that there just needs to be some discussions, and I tell my wife, you know, you have innocent victims every exchange, every listening, that's just a crazy. All the issues that I see here are actually stakeholder municipality discussions that haven't happened. You know, I sit here and read that some outreach between Ames Fire and Gilbert Fire would be very valuable. In this case, as we discuss what's happened. Because you're the only elected official to bring me that. Our responsibility is primarily the fire cemetery and flood sites. So, the fire issue again, I think there's going to be some conversation there about what the future holds. That said, again, I hate to use the word constituent, but we're the only elected official. When my phone blew up, I heard from a number of people that lived in that area, the intersection of Cameron School and Washington Park. And my feeling is that, to repeat, there's no objection to this development. What there's concern about is that there's a million moving parts about the intersection and what's going to happen. If a roundabout is built there, I'd like to put Rick's statue right in the middle of it. I'm a huge fan of the roundabout. But right now, no one knows what's going to happen there. And with the addition of a commercial node, there's a lot of concern about traffic. And again, it's a moving part issue where I say, that's really not a developer issue. That's a Gary Moon, Charlie, Jerry, everybody needs to say, here's what that intersection might look like, and then here's what the overlay would be of this commercial node. And there's no sense.
Yeah.
And I put that in my email, and again, I think it's, there's no objection to this, and I think it's a good idea. I think that there is need to be commercial out there, especially with the growth. But how are they going to get in there? How are they going to get out? And there wasn't any conversation with our folks in Franklin Township about especially commercial roads. That is the number one concern, is ingress and egress on both roads. You know, as I put in my email last night, I just think there needs to be some conversations with the various stakeholder groups to get everybody comfortable and maybe, you know, show some good neighborliness of saying, hey, we agree to this friendly plan. We do need to talk with each other. We can't just, you know, have this program talk in our laps and then,
so, Doug, I think I agree with everything you just said, except I think I disagree with the beginning premise that you're using. And so I agree with communication is the key. I agree with we need to work through a process with great communication to make sure that all of these things are talked about as whatever this process looks like move through. But I disagree that we're so far down the road in that process that we've missed something on the communication. I think we're following the process exactly as it's laid out. And the reality is, if you look in Franklin Township over the last few years, there's all kinds of properties that are being urban residential and priority transitional and all kinds of different things. And the map itself, just the designation on the map, does not automatically mean that there's a commercial node, or it needs to be a roundabout, or a diamond intersection, or that it's absolutely going to be built, you know, 3 houses per acre, or anything like that. It means it's the beginning part of that conversation, and until the city of Ames gets a request, and the 3 entities deal with that request, there's no reason to have any further conversations. And so I think I think your phone blew up because some people assumed that we were at the end of this process rather than we're not at the beginning, but we're not at the middle either. I mean, we're at the beginning stages of this process. And so if we can agree to that, then I'm right there with you. We need to have great communication, and everybody needs to be part of that conversation, and we need to address a lot of the things and more that you pointed out. But it's not like, or at least I don't see it as like, a change on the map, the designation, is the end of all of this. It's the beginning of all of this, potentially.
I'm more in Doug's camp here about early discussion is important discussion, and I'm going to go back to, if early discussion weren't important, why would Charlie have scheduled a meeting with at least some stakeholders back in August? And the city does that pretty regularly. And developers, I believe, still, right, Kurt? You go out and start talking to neighbors pretty early sometimes, depending on the development, right? And, you know, I think Hunsaker does the same thing. If you listen to comments they make, they've made at cities where they've been out and residents know about something before it's even on the radar of city staff. So I think communication and conversations, the earlier they start are the better, so that we don't end up in this situation. Of course, part of it, even in August, is that it needed to get passed on, I think. You know, whatever happened there needed to get passed on. So I think early conversation is important.
But you can't, so I agree with that. I agree with early conversation, but you can't talk about something before you're at that point in the process. And so what I'm hearing is, well, we need to decide about all of this, you know, everything that could potentially happen out there and get it set in stone before we even talk about the beginning stage of this map change.
That's the case.
Okay.
Let me clarify.
Okay.
The issue of the intersection, mm-hmm, and its effect on traffic with the commercial node, mm-hmm, is not everyone realizes. People that have approached me have said, all we need to go with a rough idea. There's that giant gas transfer station out there. That's not going to move.
Right.
So there's a pipeline, which is in the packet, I believe, that says that those folks, the northern pipeline, said we're not moving.
Right.
So you can imagine, the unknown is very frightening.
Sure.
Right now, we were all heard last night. We had a long conversation, actually, with you as well, mm-hmm, that I think just a overview that says if the intersection is around us, here's roughly where that commercial property would be. What we have now is a big star on the planet. And again, I'm coming as a representative of Depot Call.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with you completely. We're at a very early stage. But if this were a much less complicated problem, less stable, you might list in my email, right? We've got Dover Fire, we got Dover City, Ames, both City of Ames and Franklin Township, the county, mm-hmm, and we have Northern Gas Pipeline. That's a staggering amount of people, and some things are not movable there. And I just think that we have a lot more buy-in, people would be more comfortable in this process if there were one or two conversations, specifically with, I think, the neighbors, to contact the neighbors who are more comfortable. And I think the city government needs to have a conversation primarily with the city base on fire and things like that. And I think that that shows the goodwill of the freeze plan. Or even exists. It's not a one-way street. It's a, hey, we're all here to do the same thing, and it needs to exist.
Right, and that's what it's intended. But I'm, with the exception of the pipeline, Doug, I'm having trouble seeing how this property is a whole lot different than what just happened up in Peoria Estates. Maybe you can help me clarify as we went through that process and follow the process. Is there some kind of big difference between this property and what's up in Peoria Estates?
I would say so, because the other issue is the inner umbrella, and you brought it up earlier, mm-hmm, is the failed annex on the other side of the street. And you brought up, this property won't be able to be annexed without that property. Right? It will cause create an island, and it will screw up the boundaries. So
that whole property can't be annexed, but that's not to say, Doug, that part of that property couldn't be annexed without annexing the rest of it.
But this is the first time we brought up the word annexed, and the bankruptcy is that people are not willing to change the beginning of the process.
Right.
All I'm saying is I think there is a lack of communication. Students are concerned the trustees are fired. I think it would be helpful to have a conversation with the city members. And I think that for the neighborhood, I think it would be very helpful to at least put out a small, instead of a big blue dot that overlies three-quarters of that intersection, the county, it would be very helpful to have an aerial view that says, here's where that node would be, and here's where the ingress and egress. Right now, it's very ambiguous.
If I could just comment, well, that's the purpose of the urban fringe plan. It's deliberately ambiguous.
Uh-huh.
That node could indicate development at the southwest corner of that intersection. It could indicate development on the east side of the street. Just identifying somewhere in that general area, when it comes time for rezoning, that blue asterisk will support maybe a 5 to 8 acre rezoning to commercial node. So it's really not intended to be real property specific or even location specific, general location.
I don't have a word to that except to say that that's not going to play me. You won't bring them back to the community, and that's that's this process. This is why we have democracy. That's the way it's separated. But I have said, I think that perhaps on this property, not across the street, not on the other side of the field, but on the other side of the school, if the plan is to put the commercial property there, I think it would feel a lot better. But if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen.
Right, and that's where I'm giving a little pushback, Doug, is there is no plan. There's a request, and I think there's this thought out there that somewhere there's this plan, and there's going to be bulldozers out there tomorrow, and things are getting moved and built, and we're not even close to that yet. This is the very beginning stages where a developer has bought some property and made a request, hey, can we make a map change so that we can start having some of those discussions, so that we can start visualizing what it might be and where this might go. But I think there's this idea that in Kurt's back pocket right now, he's got this map that he's ready to pull out and say, okay, here's where this driveway is going to be, and here's where we're going to put the Starbucks, and here's where this thing's going. And we're not even in the ballpark of that conversation yet. And so the people that are feeling left out, and I'm not trying to diminish feeling left out, I think they think we're further in the process than we really are. I think they heard this. I think they got something in their mind, and they think this is happening right now, and we're not even... Look at how long it takes for things to happen with the city of Ames and all government. That wasn't intended as a shot at Ames. This is a long, drawn-out process, but you've got to start somewhere, and that's where we were. Was it June or July that we took the initial step? And now we're taking that next half step in order to be able to start to have some of the conversations, Doug, that I think you're worried that have not happened yet. They haven't happened because there's nothing to talk about there yet.
To your question about what's different here than elsewhere, and what hits me, hearing from the resident standpoint out in that area, first of all, is that there's already a traffic problem, where most of the previous pieces of property that have been annexed, there's not already, we're not almost at critical mass or some days beyond on that. So I could hear that. And then also the proposed commercial node right up front, which is great because, with the arguments pro and con against it, but we know right up front that this is preferred. And I don't think you have any preferred, commercial nodes combined with the traffic there. So I just wanted to respond maybe why it's coming to more the forefront of my attention about early discussion.
I think that's a great point. So I think the reality of the traffic in that area, something has to happen, but we don't know what has to happen until we do a traffic study. And in order to do a traffic study, we need to have some idea of what the map looks like. And in order to know what the map looks like, we've got to dig in and figure out what the... And I'm just saying it's all part of the process. As far as other neighbors, ask Charlie if he heard from anybody who lives along Hyde when Ames started talking about growing north right there and bringing in Corey Stage. I bet you guys' phone rang off the hook from people that live in what is a subdivision neighborhood that visualize their traffic going through the roof. So we haven't dealt with this, but that doesn't mean it hasn't been dealt with.
About 6 years ago, we were doing Cedar Point. We were going through the same urban fringe plan amendment, and it was basically to plan this area for future residential development, and there were concerns about colors of roofs and how we're going to the street. Which is not that far along.
Yep.
I don't know if there's only one in this area. It could be any of three or four different residential zones and maybe one or two commercial zones.
Yep.
The idea is to set the development expectations so that we can do a traffic study. If you don't do the commercial nodes, the traffic study is going to be a lot different than if it does have commercial. So we just want to get some expectations, long-term development expectations, before we go to the next step of identifying traffic issues and possible solutions.
Yep. And so Doug, my takeaway on your comments, and I appreciate all your comments, but my takeaway is we need to take a look at specifically, and Charlie, I'm looking at you, so I'm thinking of you and Jerry when I say this. From a county perspective, we need to look at specifically notifying our township trustees in any township that's impacted by a request like this, because we don't normally do it.
We did.
You did, okay.
We provided everybody with 300 feet, if it was somebody just outside 300 feet and went ahead and had a...
But what about the township trustees?
Yeah, the township trustees, we have the city of Gilbert City Court. So if you didn't give a notice, I can't explain that, but we did it. Three township trustees and the township court.
And Charlie, do you feel like I'm giving a fair representation that this is truly the beginning of the conversation, not even the middle or the end of the conversation?
Yes. And I will tell you that as the process goes forward, you do have an opportunity to impose conditions or recommendations at this point. The annexation itself, there's a process where you have the ability to provide written comments or requests for changes to the annexation, and we're obligated to respond. To accept it, to ignore them, to compromise on them, but you always have input to the various stages. Once it's entirely in the city limits, you have right. Your ability to influence things probably down to zero.
Yep.
I appreciate the time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Doug.
But as we said, we're in the only elected people, and I called you guys last night, right, to make sure what the line of communication were. Was that
because of you guys, sir? Yeah, and I appreciate you're the only elected people in Franklin Township, but we all appreciate votes out of Franklin Township, too. So.
I have a question. From a monetary standpoint, I didn't hear you list concern about lost tax dollars, correct? That's not a concern that rate makes your top.
I think we're already covered.
Okay, good.
I mean, $100 $100. I mean, I also think that there's some, one of the comments I made was about some discussions, and this is a higher level of footage that affects this property in particular, but it does affect the fire coverage in the area between Gilbert and Ames, and maybe there's some shared services available there instead of building, a fire hall or building some shared space. Maybe it makes sense to do some kind of a payment that covers everybody. So the Gilbert doesn't lose money, and Ames has better coverage of only one side. I mean, I do think that's a real concern, is a third fire station where it's moving fire station has to happen. But I'm sure that's a five-year-long process. So, again, this is just communication between people in the prison. Maybe it's never been thought about how far that should go down and say, hey, you know, we're not opponents here. We all agree to the freedom plan. It's important. We need to keep it in place. Maybe we need to have a little more confident conversation. And I can speak to what I think for all of us. We'd be happy to see that.
Absolutely. Well, we'll count on you to do that as part of the process. John, Mayor Pop. Oh, Marty, I'm sorry. Did you have something before?
No, I was just going to, I figured the people who have got problems probably were saying much of the same things they've always been saying one another. In regards to this, and the fact that I think everybody's agreement this is going to be an extension of the city of Ames at some point. I guess my mind turns to somebody that just visits this area randomly and not frequently, is I wasn't always on the side of the book like that commercial note. So I suspect if you did have a commercial note, you would not hope to have the success that you would likely have seen just by visiting the south. And I would expect that just kind of teasing out all the little things, it had to give you comfort, Mr. Mayor, and when you hear the city of Ames thinking they might have to go in a collaboration on fire service, that we all set the table to have that conversation going forward. And I think that would be incumbent upon you guys to pick that up around and go with it.
Good. First thing, Mayor Pop, when does the city of Gilbert address this request? You guys have it on your agenda.
We talked about it several minutes ago, waiting on staff and court command.
Sent that to Sonia yesterday and asked it before on.
So first, to answer your question, we've been waiting on that.
Okay.
And I haven't had a chance to review it, but I'm not sure if any of those issues we addressed or addressed in that review.
No.
Well,
I know fire police essentially the same comments that made before.
So I understand it's the first step of the process. But I don't think anybody's naive enough to think that this process, once you start it, is a path that annexes the whole.
Yeah.
There's, I think there's areas are a little over 100 acres, but the area we're talking about is almost five times bigger. It's almost 450 acres here. So when you reference some of the other subdivisions, that's another difference. This is a big land out here. So there's some differences there that I think we've taken into consideration. And when we need the calculations, Is that a cursor area?
Just on the curve where we were at, where we got
okay.
This.
So that's an cursor area, not...
Yeah, no, that does not reflect any of the additional proposed annexation.
And that's based on the current rates mm-hmm. and the current construction. So that number is already moving with IRS construction work.
Yeah, I was just using
so, it before that. Just so to finish up. So it's that part, and that is per year. So, and I didn't go to the exercise, so thank you for doing that. It wasn't much.
Well, you prompted the conversation, and Loris and I wanted to know, so I went out and found the answer.
We stretch a lot of things to get the fire station and the community building and the city hall and building done and cooperate in that. We stretch a lot of things to get that.
Sure.
So, when Rick talks about $300 at the Sheriff's Department, that's pretty much less too.
Yeah.
Because we're stretched a long ways, and loans are out the long ways. So all those dollars add up. And so that was a piece that I wanted to have a discussion on because we know the background. And I think the police issue is a concern. And I think the fire issue is a concern because if the answer is going to be we're going to change the definition from 5 minutes to 5 minutes to 85% of calls, is that the next step to address the area for this 450 acres? We're going to change the definition, or are we going to do something like we just talked about a few minutes ago with collaboration with a law staff to allow supply existing fire stations to deliver that can respond a lot quicker than that, even though it's still on the fire. So, I just want to clarify a couple of things. The annexation background, we're not dealing with this much acres or even the smallest of these previous subdivisions to go in 20 acres.
Potentially. I mean, it's potentially.
But we also talked about, and I know it's not figured out, but Kirk just made a statement earlier, he wants to establish as much as possible. There was already a discussion about plans for how we run stuff to the Beaumont Trust property. So it can't hurt us to have some of these discussions if those things are on the table and let's talk about them. I agree with Doug. There's no pushback on our part saying, no one in hell, not now.
Yeah.
It's just we need to have those discussions because there's some big pieces involved. Before we even get into the traffic issues and all the other lists, I mean, I just highlighted a couple of them top there. So,
and I agree with you. So, Mayor, I agree with you completely what you just said. The difference is the viewpoint that I have is that the beginning of those discussions where we're all coming together and having it is talking about the map change. Because once you talk about the map change, right now, what you just suggested is going to happen out there absolutely cannot happen unless the map changes first. And if the map changes, it doesn't mean it's going to happen. It just means it could, and that's where the conversation starts.
I understand the good part. Yeah. We don't know. It stands there.
I would say absolutely that's true.
So my other piece is that when we raise questions, yeah, I've seen most of them. Instead of having a time to tell about it, Jerry shows up in Gilbert. These two show up in Gilbert. Oh, there you go. So obviously there's some things that didn't get communicated from us to you, the township, guys, where's our voice? Whether or not we got the letter or not. That's my whole point, is that if we can have some of these discussions further. As Kirk, I'm going to admit to you, if you'd like to do that.
Sure.
And because if you put a case on that point, it's going to be a lot harder for the non-law because of the spatial problem. And I don't ever get it all right. We've been on that path and it's worked out well, but I'd rather advocate that argument.
Yeah.
But, so that's my point, and I don't want to be with that horse here. But that is the only thing that I really want to talk about.
So a couple of things. One, I agree with everything you just said. I just think we're now, depending on where this goes, right? So there's three entities that have to act on this. Story County has to act on it. Ames has to act on it. We heard that they're going to be the 28th. I mean, Gilbert has to act on it. You're in the perfect position here in that you, I mean, without action from you, this does not happen, right? Without a blowing up of the Ames Urban Fringe plan. So you're in the perfect position to do this, and I'm in complete, I haven't heard anybody say that they're not in agreement, that all these conversations need to happen, but they can't happen. I mean, so you're an engineer, right? You can't have the conversation before you've got the pieces in place to be able to have the conversation. And that's what we're talking about now, is always going to put those pieces in place to have the full conversation and determine where some of these things might be and at what kind of impact they might have, and then absolutely have the full conversation. So it'll be fascinating. I'm going to come up to your city council meeting because I want to hear the conversation that the city council has on this. Because this is a fascinating way to look at the urban fringe plan beyond any way we've looked at it to this point. Laura, do you want to say something?
I have a question. Coming back to the kind of a firm, you spoke a bit about it, about that already in the township area, is that there's more construction going on, so the values are rising every year. So now I'm going to head to the arrangement for your new building, the financing arrangement. Is Franklin Township or part of the Franklin Fire Department, are they part of your bonding agreement to pay off loans, are they, or is Gilbert absorbing the entire cost of that loan?
It's owned by the fire agency.
Okay. So my question here is that in bonding for that, was there an anticipation that this land would stay in the unincorporated area in the township or the fire department being able to pay off those? I'm just trying to put the graph on comments that were made on Thursday night or put it in context, because I got the impression during part of the Thursday evening conversation last week is that there was a lot of concern that revenue was leaving. And so when Marty did the small, the calculation, it's like $100. But so I got it into my head. It must be an anticipation of future revenue to pay off these loans.
Sure.
Correct? Okay.
Yeah, it's multiple years out.
And then about future communication tasks. Okay, we certainly here in Story County can address internally, how we reach out, and Rick already kind of suggested that. Charlie doesn't report to us. He reports to the Ames City Council, and there are a couple layers there. All right. Have you communicated to city elected officials about any communication requests you would have about how things might be structured in the future to start the talk that Rick is recommending needs to happen to? Yeah. Okay. Like I said, we don't control how that information flows up, but we certainly will do our best.
Two quick questions.
Maybe
you speak to them, maybe you can't. City of Gilbert, looking at the annexation, we talked about any. You guys having any discussions?
Yeah.
Have you seen Ames come to you? Is there any discussions on you going to them?
That is of today.
Right.
But it's pretty hard to have a whole bunch of practitioners and folks there now that they're going to get all the
money. I think that's a fair bet.
Yeah.
I can maybe just sorry, thanks. Good.
Good. John, thanks. Appreciate you. Absolutely. Anybody else? You want to speak, or you're good? Either of you guys. Yeah, please come on up.
I'm Terry Gallagher, City Council for Gilbert. I just have a couple of questions for clarification. Marty, you said 2 years ago the Board Myers said that this property was for the kids' future.
I think Charlie said that.
Sorry. Yeah. And you said it was an asset, so they said it was an asset to the present. Did they mean as agriculture or as development?
They basically said they're going to let their children make books.
Okay. And that was 2 years ago.
2 to 4 years ago.
Okay. And, I mean, because the Board Market property is a big chunk of this, and it seems like nobody really knows where they are, or they don't care.
Well, so I think there's a pretty good feel for where Mr. Bortmeyer is, but Mr. Bortmeyer is, I know, in his 80s or maybe even in his 90s. And Mr. Bortmeyer has indicated again and again and again that, and to me, he's indicated that as long as he has something to say about it, that's going to stay just exactly like it is. That's all that's known, I mean, for whatever that's worth.
As John said, the Friedrich property is a small chunk of that, or a bit of that, 20% of that. And I'm wondering, and this is, I'm talking in looking backwards, I guess, but why are these both, where is all this being presented together? It seems like a lot, it seems like a lot of difference to me.
I think from my perspective, I think that's a really fair point, and I think there are major differences. And anybody who is confused with how the annexation, so I think it's fair to say that the long-term vision, John, is that all of that would get annexed. I think that's, Ames has already tried to annex part of it. I don't think they've made any big secret. I mean, they named it Sang Road, for goodness sake. I don't think there's any big secret that someday they think they're going to annex Bortmeyer. They can serve all that area. But if you take a look just south of the Friedrich properties, you don't have to annex the Bortmeyer farm or anything east of there in order to annex the Friedrich properties right here. And so I'm not viewing this, I think it's being viewed in one lump sum, and I don't think it's anywhere close to one lump sum as we sit here today. And so I think that's the confusion, is it's all hashed exactly, or one of the confusions. It's all hashed exactly the same way, but you can easily see this thing come in two separate pieces. The problem with the Bortmeyer farm is once it comes in, everything east of it has to come in. Otherwise, you're creating an island, which you can't do legally. But until the Bortmeyer farm comes in, and Ames Golf and Country Club, you don't have to bring any of that in, but you can still bring in the Friedrich. But nobody knows any of this yet.
But this amendment includes it all.
Only a map change. This has nothing to do with how annexation may or may not proceed. This amendment turns all of that ground into the same designation, right? The same map designation, urban residential.
And then I have one more question, and I'm not sure that anybody can answer this, but there's a bit of this land in the county, 820 acres, in between Phoenix Valley and the Friedrich property. Is that correct? And I'm wondering why that's not included. Is it because the owner is not interested in it or didn't request it? It seems, do you see what I mean? It seems weird because that's
really. It's 20 acre feet owned by Mr. Keelan.
Yeah.
And it's almost entirely in the floodway. There's steep slopes and no drones.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you.
So you saw no reason to include it, and Mr. Keelan never expressed an interest that he wanted to talk about it.
I don't think he does know
about
it.
Right. Thank you. Yep.
So my name is Tom Hack. I'm one of the private township trustees. And I just wanted to maybe clarify a few points, I think, or to allude to some of the funding issues. But I do want to be completely honest with everyone here. I am a member of the Oversight Department as well, so I will not speak to response from either the Oversight Department or the Oversight Department or the Oversight Department. But what I do think I can speak to is some of the funding that goes into that. And I think the concern from some of you is why this property, why now, and why not some of the previous annexations. And I would say for me, one is the size, because we're not just looking at the previous property, we're looking at an adaptation to the larger property as a whole. And the second thing is maybe a straw that broke the camel's back, is that we have had these other land use changes, these other annexations, and at some point, I think we do need to address that issue. This one, because of the size and complexity, just kind of brought that to the forefront. I think now I think we need to say something again and try to have these conversations. And then, yes, the funding, because the dollar amount now doesn't truly reflect what I think that $100, $101, $110, whatever it was, doesn't truly reflect kind of the long-term impact, considering the size of the land use change and the amendment to the policy. And kind of the current development that's going on now, the revenue that we would anticipate doing from that going forward, that now we're dealing with the conversation of regional education there.
Good, thanks. Questions? Okay, anybody else? Seeing no one else, now's the part where we get to decide what, if any, action we're taking today.
Hi. I said, almost talked into the wrong mic. I said at some point I hadn't made a decision. I have made a decision now. Okay. And I was encouraged to hear that there is willingness to talk and that there is willingness to compromise. It sounds like that in a couple of these situations it's been unfortunate miscommunication, etc. I'm pleased that we're having this conversation with a local developer because it's quite frankly easier to hold local developers to invite them in and assure that they'll be there. All right. So I have made the decision that I think that even though we are giving away some true equal power, I would make a motion unless you want more to set. Well,
go ahead, make a motion.
Okay, I would make the motion that we do approve the addition of the entire pack, the entire, would mean both Friedrich and the city's request for the map change. Period on that, and then I have a comment after.
Go back to the recommendation from our Story County's Planning and Zoning Commission.
Oh, yes.
Give us the recommendation from them.
From the priority transitional residential district to urban residential, it also includes the commercial node with the condition that traffic study be done. The second part of this is the Ames city manager request, which includes the priority transitional residential and the rural transitional area for Maya and the Hines to the urban residential.
I'm repeating a motion with Edith. I would move, as read by Jerry, that we approve it.
Okay, that's the recommendation from our Planning and Zoning Commission. Do I have a second?
Second.
Yeah, so we have a motion and second, and let's just clarify a couple things here because I want to make sure we're really clear before we vote on this. I don't see a timeline. I see that there needs to be agreement that we're going to do a traffic impact study, which I think Charlie has indicated would in fact be something that the city of Ames would want to do before you move down the road toward any annexation, right? So as I understand it, Lois, that motion, all that does is we're looking for an agreement that a traffic study will in fact happen, not that it happens by a date certain. I want to make sure we're all clear on that.
Correct.
Okay.
As I understand it, because that has to happen before a next step goes forward. Has to happen at the time of annexation. Is that what it means?
I'm not sure how the scope of work will happen before any zoning occurs. I don't know whether it would be before or after annexation. But certainly before any preliminary plat.
Right.
Or any development would occur.
Nor if I, and I understand, this doesn't prevent us from doing what we need to do about that traffic.
It's still our intersection. The county can go in and spend anything we deem appropriate on that intersection.
You could fix it before we answer.
You'd love that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. That's what Steve Shanker says to me all the time.
And we'll watch the two of our heads.
Okay, so you seconded it. Are we clear on what we're voting on?
Yes.
Anybody else? Kurt, you want to make any comments before we vote? Is there anybody else who wants to make any comments before we vote on this? Absolutely.
And my comment now is that I will be watching very, very carefully about that these conversations that we've discussed and the gaps are occurring in the meantime. Please, I guess I say that to Charlie and I say that to Kurt. Okay, let's move those conversations forward to the extent possible on a voluntary basis.
So I feel great about that, Lois, because it's actually in everybody's best interest that we do that. And so that when it's in everybody's best interest, I feel good with that. Anything further before we vote? Holson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. We recommend the change. It's important to note that we're one of three that recommend the change. It's still got to go to the Ames City Council and the Gilbert City Council before anything can happen. Outstanding. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. So
we're going to hold other reports and annual review of the Cornerstone and Capstone because we've got a meeting with the librarians that started 24 minutes ago. We'll hold it for the 28th. Leanne will come back. We do have to do an update on the website refresh, and Leanne, you're going to take this as high level as you can, but we're going to get done what we need to get done.
So what I have before you is just a quick update on the website refresh project. The time frame is out there on the website for you to look at it, and you can read it and put them on the checkbox.
Okay.
The one we've done thus far. The two squares, the boxes, though, are where we are right now, and what we're doing is we're trying to what they look like, the layout. Later for Dennis with a great scale.
I'm sorry, I can't. Remember, we've got the little one.
They did present us with a great scale. I'm going to show you that shortly, share the comments that the website refresh committee gave back to this class, with some feedback from the college team as well, and we'll be back probably in September and then follow up. So the great scale layout they gave us is very rudimentary. It just really has identified various design elements. So this is what they indicated. The top would be global navigation. So that, you know, your departments, your art business are all right there, just our construction. And then this background, you see the hashes are the background image, and that's the images we submitted. Our logo and search bar, the show is pretty similar to the Mission in Texas, but we have a lot of that. And then going down further in the page are the graphic buttons. Like the notifying me button, whatever we identify as those elements we want on the front page. The news elements on the left, the tab calendar and the list on the right, and then three carousels of information. So this is our news feed, and we don't have pictures of them, we just add pictures later on. And then on the bottom, contact information, quick links, our social media links, and a help link. That's the landing page, the home page. Then the interior, the interior looks similar, except for the feature links for the department specific on the left, primary content, again, the draw department specific, and the feature column on the right. So what we decided, our steps and recommended to the club from the community standpoint is on that home page. On the home page, we don't want this trading account on the top.
Right.
We do want that, and we find them down here in the contact information. So this global navigation, if you notice, is a scroll down to
block
the top of the screen. We like that. But we need that sign in down to the bottom. On the carousel, making sure we don't have to have pictures, which is kind of important because we don't want one style picture and the rest of the picture will affect the balance. But clarify we can add them to in the future. We'd like a translation lockdown that the city has right now. It's under our quick link. We'd like it down in the contact information. Just simple button, which is actually the student's field account that we don't want. And then on the interior page, the only thing we want to remain is the global navigation, logo, search, and the
these three elements right here, which are those part of the contact information columns. The graph of buttons and the contact information and everything else combined is on homepage dimension, and you can see the confusion if there's columns for those partners as well.
May I ask a question here? Yeah. So you're showing us this, and clearly we've had a long meeting. Two of us have not had enough sleep, probably. Okay. And do we have to decide today? Oh, darn. Because we don't even have a graphic in front of us.
This is all we have to respond to. This is all the community saw. This is all the stage and things that the club shared with us.
When did they share this with us?
I don't know. Remember it. Was
there a time for us to have seen it before? I mean, I'm very uncomfortable making a 2 or 3 minute decision unless you assure me, okay, that we have another chance to change it.
No, we don't have another chance.
See, I
can't do it. Really,
I believe that.
I'm not sure you see right now the recommendations that we have made.
I'm having difficulty visualizing them from you reading them off.
Which what we did is we went to both of Kenny, Texas, because we're in the city of Wyoming. See how the elements look. Because we all struggle with how it's raised. You can't tell them.
So show us McKinney, Texas, and tell us what would be the same and what would be different about our website. Maybe it'll help
Thank
us
you.
Get through
right.
the visualization.
Right.
And while I'm doing that, you see the colors on the bottom of the screen? Sorry. This is the color palette that they recommended here. So it's pretty similar to the colors in our logo. And then we're putting one as well, putting one on this first. And I'll go up to you too. Cody Wyoming has
Thank you.
So appreciative of the work that the committee has put in, and I'm comfortable with what it appears we're headed. But I think it is a fair request by us to say, here's the decision we believe we're making. Now we want to see a static mock-up of what exactly that looks like that the three of us can see. I think it's a fair request, Leanne, and I'll be surprised if they would say no to that. Understanding that we need to allow them to move on in the process, but it's time for us to see a mock-up of truly what we can expect it to look like.
We get design presentation meeting, so we'll do design presentation meeting on the 13th of December.
Okay.
So I would anticipate probably within like 2 weeks before the meeting about regurgitating information back to us that we've been doing this on the form. So we should get back to them with not just the gray, but the color scheme.
Yep.
I was really concerned about that they wanted to create a color palette without knowing what was there. And so when I noted that in the comments to the form that I got on Friday, I did say, our preference is that we are able to see examples of how the colors are intended to be used on which elements to a final design option. So to clarify that, this is okay at this point, but
right. So our problem here, Leanne, I'm so appreciative of the update you've given us, but we don't have the ability to take any action today because it doesn't say, okay. All right. So then you've gotten what you need from us. Marty, Lewis, you want to weigh in any further? Anything I've said, I think it's time for us to see a mock-up.
I agree with that, and possibly December 13th is the time for the committee to meet via Skype or whatever avenue we're going. Okay, you guys are going. But if you need our input for final input to them on December 13th, I ask that we be able to see it in enough time to visually consider it.
I think it'll be helpful now that I know that it's McKinney, Texas, and Cody, Wyoming. I can jump on my own computer and surf around, and I'd encourage you guys to do that as well and give us an idea. Anything else from us? It's time for us to move on. Public forum number 2, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items, anything you want to. Any librarian wishing to comment? We're going to move on. Liaison assignments, I would ask only if it's something you got to give us.
I have nothing there.
All right. I take a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.